is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And then Gilson will bring the other one, which is in Exodus chapter 16. So you'll be dashing about the Bible this morning from the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me, by yourselves, to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "But that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading from his word. And Gilson is going to bring another reading now from the book of Exodus and chapter 16.
It's a marvelous one. Good morning, church. How are we this morning? Are you really fine when you're in the house of your father? We want those lovely voices because you are in the right place. But before I go ahead, I thought I want also to add to what Mike was reading this morning. I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verse 1, no, 16, verses 1 to 10. It says this: "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had left, came out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord. Because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning. Because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. Let's pray together, please. Father God, we come before your throne of grace with humbleness in our hearts. Father, I want to say, welcome everyone who is here this morning. Welcome both men and women, young and old, children. The Lord is welcoming you this morning. We welcome you, Christ, in our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, and stay in our hearts, we pray this morning. Sometimes we struggle with things that are around us, and we have questions that we ask that need answers. Sometimes we struggle with needs, and we can't find answers as well. But this morning, we are praying that, Lord Jesus, you come and stay in our hearts, and you'll be able to answer those questions that we have. Come and live in us, Lord Jesus. Come, stay in us through the word of our Father that we read, that we hear, that we sing about. So come, Lord Jesus, and help us to hear you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming to worship your Father this morning. Isn't that lovely and great too? It's lovely to see those who have been to Africa to enjoy some sunshine, while some of us are struggling with cold weather here. But never mind. We welcome you, Virginia and Gelly. We didn't do an official welcome last week because Gelly was by herself, but today the two of you will welcome you to our service. Welcome home. This morning I had a story that I had some time back, but I just twisted it a little bit to fit in our situation. There's a story of a farmer that is told. A farmer was a producer of turkeys, but I decided to call them Christmas birds for those who sometimes struggle with my accent. Because if I carry on saying turkeys, someone, what is this trying to say? But I'll call them Christmas birds as we go along. This farmer was so popular for producing these Christmas birds. They were beautiful. Yeah. Yes, yes. And also, the family, his family, had abundance of meat because they were producing it. So they used to dress the Christmas birds for dispatch to the customers. You know what the wife and children would do? They would remove the thighs without the farmer noticing. So they did this for quite a long time. In the end, the customers started complaining, how come these Christmas birds have got no thighs? There was a need there because they wanted the thighs. The family also needed some food. So there was a need on both ends. So the farmer thought, well, I'm producing good products here. How come the popularity has become so big? The popularity was not because of his good beds, but it was because of something missing on these Christmas beds. So there was a need here. Eventually, the complaint came to the farmer. and he acted. I know in true life this won't happen. But he now started producing Christmas birds with six legs. Yeah. What was the whole idea of producing a Christmas bird with six legs? So that when the family removes the two, four. Right. So now the production line started running up smooth and everything was going smoothly. The need was now sorted out. There was no more need for the thighs because they had their share and the family had their share as well. So the farmer popularity remained. The farmer was always privileged by the need. In order to satisfy their needs, he had a trick. He changed the way of producing these Christmas birds by producing the one with six legs so that he can satisfy the need. Amen. So there was a need here. There is also a need this morning in our hearts, because we need Christ. Isn't that right? There is always a need in our lives because we need Christ. Without Christ, we cannot cope with the life that we are facing in this world. Jesus is all we need. The story that we read in the book of Exodus 16, we heard how the Israelites were now stuck in the desert. And they were grumbling. How many of us do grumble to God too when things are not going our way? I'm one of them. I've grumbled to God some other time. And we want the answers instantly. Ah, you see where we get it wrong. Don't ask for the answer instantly. All you need is Christ. Amen. What about telling your neighbor there all you need is Christ? Robert, tell your neighbor all you need is Christ. That's all what we need this morning. Right, that story that we read in Mark, Mark 6, verse 30. It started on verse 31. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They have been out in the country quarters, right? The Bible doesn't say tell us that, did they go with Jesus or they left him behind? All we hear is they're now reporting back. They've got their notebooks in their hands. They are comparing their notes around the Savior. The Master is there. This one is saying, oh, Master, I've been to Venge this morning. I was preaching to this woman who was having complications with her pregnancy. And we prayed for her. She gave birth in front of us. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Maybe that's what they were saying. Maybe this one was saying, well, I had this woman who had struggled with her children who were disobeying. And we prayed and laid hands on them. And the children also acknowledged they want to follow Jesus. Maybe this is what they were doing. I'm not confirming this is exactly what they were doing. It is saying they were reporting to Jesus. And Jesus said, guys, you need a rest. But before they get that rest, there was commotion. People heard that they were moving to a certain place. Imagine that commotion of people running towards where Jesus is going. And they got there before them. They were waiting for them because there was a need. As they came around there, Jesus started teaching them. Why was he teaching them? Their forefathers hadn't taught them. Yes? If you read throughout the Bible, you can see how the Israelites have been disobeying God. We read there in Exodus 16. They were starting grumbling. And God said, you will see. I want to see if you are going to obey. You heard Mike what he was saying, that when they are born, they always do something which is not right. Only one child born in this world did a right thing. We are all like that. So here, Jesus was now teaching them, telling them that what their forefathers hadn't taught them. Do we teach our community about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we tell our friends about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or it just ends at the church. When our service is finished, it's done and dusted. What about the person who hasn't been able to come here? to hear our singing, to hear the sermon being preached. People were being taught by Jesus because things were not going the right way. People were being taught by Jesus because they needed it. People were hungry. Spiritually, they were hungry. So Jesus was to teach them. So there was a need here. The crowd was so big, they rushed ahead of them. Instead of the disciples getting time to rest, Jesus started teaching them. They needed to be taught. But there's something that intrigued me so much in that reading. But before I get to that, I want you to picture the story of the Israelites in the desert. They are starting now to complain to Moses. If it was today's language, they would be saying some bad words as well to Moses. But the Bible doesn't say so. It only says they were grumbling to Moses and Aaron. Oh, so maybe this morning you are also grumbling to Jesus, because Jesus here is in the place of Moses. What intrigued me most is about sheep without a shepherd. It's very important. We always need a leader wherever we are. The Bible says 1,000 years ago, before Jesus was on the scene, Moses was the leader of Israel. After he brought them out of Egypt, he led them and wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. It happened that he asked the Lord for a shepherd. So shepherds are very important. We need them in our lives. Moses knew, because God could reveal to him, to Moses, what is going to happen to him. He told him he was not going to see the promised land. In that story, Moses stood on top of the mountain and he saw what God had told him he was not going to see. But he asked the Lord for one thing. Numbers 27, verse 16 to 17 says this. This is what it means to be a leader. You need to care for your people. In other words, a shepherd is a leader who should lead and take care for the people. When Moses asked the Lord, his prayer was so answered, and he was told to appoint Joshua, who led them into the promised land. Numbers 27, verse 16 and 17 talks about Moses asking the Lord, being asked to appoint someone who was going to take the children of Israel to that promised land. So this is what a leader should be. So Jesus Christ here, as in his teaching, is reminding the Israelites of what happened before. Now they've got a shepherd in front of them. So they have got to bring all their needs to the leader, who is Jesus. So leaders are also to take care of those under their care. I was challenged by a member who phoned me during the week. I think I was slightly sleeping on my duties too. The member said to me, "Oh, Gilson, you haven't been in touch with me. I'm sorry, I've been coming to the church for some time. But please, don't feel bad. Call me anytime to inform me about what's happening at the church, because I've lost touch with the church." I said to the member, "Oh, I am sorry. It eluded me that I can carry on phoning, because when I announced in the church about what's happening, I thought I'd actually pass the information. If someone is not here, I thought to follow them at home will sort of intruding in their privacy." He said, no, not as far as I'm concerned. Phone me about anything in the church, because I hear a lot has been happening. So as I was speaking to this member, I was challenged by the reading in James 3, verse 1. It says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers. My fellow brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." So I was taking my notebook saying, I've done this. So the member, by phoning, I think the member was prompted by the Holy Spirit to remind me of what I am supposed to be doing as a leader. So I missed one of those things, informing those who are under my care. I apologized to the member. I said, I'll try my best to always encourage and inform those who are not able to be with us every time. Okay? So this is what leaders are to be like. This is what true leaders are. They are always supposed to be accountable, because the Bible said they will be judged harshly. Amen? I'm not discouraging you to be a leader. But there is a warning there in James. If you are not doing it properly, you will be judged harshly. Yes? Oh, isn't this good? Because the Bible doesn't want us to go astray. It keeps us on track. So that where there is a need, we act. Amen? So there was a need here in this member, because the minister, it's slightly slackened. So, I know we are very far away from the Middle East, but there are needs in this society. If you agree with me, hear this. I once heard someone saying, in the Western world, there is spiritual poverty. This spiritual poverty must be addressed by the leaders. It is greater than the physical need of the third world. Hallelujah. Where you live and where I live, if you look in your street, you can count about 30 cars. But where I come from, if you look in the street, if you see two cars, you'll be very lucky, or very blessed, as Christians would like to call it. There are few cars in the third world than compared here. There is less food in third world countries compared to here. Am I all right? There is good health in this country than in the third world. I hear people complaining about any. And in other places, there's no any. If you've got a splinter in your hand, you ask your wife or your mother, please take it out. I've seen people waiting for hours in the A&E with a splinter in their hand. Oh, come on, guys. Get on it, take a pin and take it out. This is good health in the Western world. Anything small, you go to A&E. There's a bus moving around these days with an advert at the back. It's written, A&E is for saving lives. Are they not encouraging us not to waste the time of A&E? Surely a splinter on your finger, you spend 2-4 hours waiting for a nurse to come and take it out. Get on with it. Take it off. Take it off. And also, there is success in the third world compared into the Western world than the third world countries. Do you agree with me? So, but there is this spiritual hunger in the Western world. There is this spiritual hunger in the Western world which has created loneliness. Amen? There's that spiritual hunger that we need to save the people. There's a need. That's why Jesus was gathering those people around him to tell them about their need. Recently, we've started doing Bible study in the book of Revelation. The summary of that book, it says, in the end, God will defeat all sin. And all enemies will be defeated. And there is going to be good life. No more suffering. No more hunger. That's the book of Revelation. But only for those who are in Christ. So there is a need for those who don't have Christ. They need Christ. For them to enjoy the life that is predicted in the book of Revelation. If you don't have Christ, you cannot enjoy. So our reading today confronts us with a need. The need is the hunger that we have for Christ. We must always have hunger for Christ for us to enjoy that life that is predicted in Revelations. So, the only person or the only Lord who can help us to meet our need is Jesus Christ. Amen? In verse 34, we read, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. We read also, after teaching them, he fed them miraculously with bread and fish. Just from this passage, we learn how the Lord meets our needs. Spiritual hunger twofold is being met by Jesus Christ here. The first thing that Jesus is worried about It's the people he's looking at. They are hungry. They need to be fed. So he had compassion for them. He then points to the future feast in which our deepest needs will be satisfied. It is true, we must be fed by his word first. That will satisfy our spiritual hunger. Jesus takes care of fears that we have in our lives. But if you harbor them in without coming to Jesus, no one will satisfy your need. It's only Jesus who will satisfy your need. But also, did you notice something there? He was speaking to his disciples. He was talking about rest. So Jesus is concerned about us. He wants us to rest after a day's work. I just want to speak about young people who are still active in their working life. Don't be workaholics. Jesus has said it here. You need to rest. I remember when I was still working at the hospital, I worked somewhere else. I looked at myself. In a week, I had done 1,000 jobs. My body felt it. You can feel it. I remember one day, Jenia, she came to pick me from the hospital after my night shift. I sat at the bus stop. I think I once told you about this story. Before Jenia arrived, I already dozed off by the bus stop in front of the hospital. This is how my body was tired. So Jesus is concerned about such situations. Our bodies get tired, so he wanted the disciples to rest. But before they got that rest, there was more ministry. So they went for it. But Jesus said, let's go to a solitary place so that you can have rest. Jesus wants you to rest after your work. Jesus wants you to rest. Sabbath. Sabbath is very important. After work, you need to rest. You need to rest. Jesus himself was concerned here. Then as we go along, in order to show that Jesus cares for our needs, listen to this. The disciples wanted to send these people away. Maybe they would say, oh, guys, we are tired. We have been on a day's work. Go away. But Jesus, fellas, no, not today. Don't send them away. Give them something to eat. Wow. Then the disciples started pondering around. How are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to feed all these people? They forgot that they were before the Lord. Do we sometimes forget that we are believers? And the Bible says, according to Paul in Corinthians, he says, the Holy Spirit lives in us. But when things are tough, we forget. This is a church of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me. When things are not going rosy, we forget. We abandon all that. This is exactly what the disciples were doing here. They wanted to send the people away. Why send them away when they are before their Lord? They are in the right place. They are in the right place. So they should have let the people remain. But Jesus said, stop it. Give them something to eat. That's in verse 37. The master now commands the disciples to feed the people. The disciples are being instructed on what to do by the Lord. All they want to do is listen what the Lord is saying. Sometimes it is like that with people. They don't listen to the Lord. When the Lord says something, we always find to do our own way. So the Lord is saying today, listen. Listen to me. Moses also in the book of Numbers 11, verses 21 to 23 there, he was arguing with the Lord. He was asked to feed. He said, how can I feed 600,000 men? Even if I slaughter all the cattle, all the sheep that they have, and even all the oceans are dried to take out the fish, can I give them meat to last for 30 days? He's arguing with God, the creator of the universe, who can turn stones into human beings, who can turn water into soil, just by his voice. Moses is asking God a difficult question. Why not complying with what the Lord is telling you? But we find here Jesus taking the center stage. Verse 38, he asks them, how many loaves have you? The master gives another convincing command. Go and see. But the Bible doesn't tell us where were they going to see this bread. So they went into the crowd. And they said, we found out 5 loaves. Forgive me, I know the standard loaf that you know. But I thought the loaf of that time, because I understand, there was a little boy there according to the book of John. Maybe his mother made him his sandwich for the day, because he knew the boy was going to spend some time. So I just decided, well, this must be the size of a sandwich for a young boy. His age is not given. I couldn't find a dried fish, because I think I'm supposed to bring a dried fish. If I'd brought the normal fish, it could be smelling here. So I just decided to bring bread only. So they said, this is what we found. The master is going to multiply what you have found. The master is going to multiply what you have brought before him. If your needs haven't been met, if you bring them before the master, you will multiply them as he did the bread. Hallelujah. So the disciples brought that. And also Mark doesn't tell us which disciple was the spokesman. But if you go to John, you'll find out Philip was the spokesman. He's the one who was answering to Jesus. We found this young boy, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. The master says, bring it here. Maybe you need 5 loaves and 2 fish that you should bring to Jesus. When it has been multiplied, for it to increase, Jesus has got to break it. Amen. It says that Jesus took the bread and broke it and looked up in heaven and he gave thanks. What we have is not multiplying because Jesus hasn't broken it. Hallelujah. So you need to bring what you have, your problems, bring them to Jesus so that he can break them and praise to his Father, and they will disappear. If you have been struggling, whatever you have been struggling, bring it before Jesus. He will break it and give thanks to his Father. There is a need here. You need to bring your problems to Jesus. There is a need here. You don't have bread. You don't have fish. You need to come to Jesus. There's a need here. If you have got 5 loaves and 2 fish and they are not multiplying, bring them to Jesus. They will multiply. But there's also another thing that interested me there. When after breaking the bread and after praying, he asked the disciples, tell the people to sit down in groups of 50 and 100. There's order in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know. Even the disciples, they were shocked on that day to hear of this orderly manner. Ask the people to sit in groups of 50 and 100. Ooh. And listen, Jesus was talking about a desert. He was leading these people to a desert, his disciples to have a rest. But people rushed in front of them and they were in front of them. Around. It's a desert. But the Bible says, Jesus said, sit. The people were sitting on green grass. Excuse me? Do you have green grass in a desert? No? I don't think so. Only at the oasis there we can find some grass because there's water. The desert is at a dry place. But when you bring your situation before Jesus, it becomes a paradise. Hallelujah! It becomes a paradise. Sit the people in 50s and 100s on the green grass. Where is the green grass coming from in a desert? If you are around the Lord, you are not in a desert. If you are around the Lord, you are in a paradise. So, they sit down there. Right, listen what the Bible says. There were about 5,000. The Bible says only men were counted. Not disrespecting you mothers and children here. They were not counted. But they were there. Here, I discovered that this is an inclusive statement. Everyone was included there. They say 5,000 men. But the Bible goes on to say women and children were not counted. So the genders were not counted, but we are included, isn't it? It's not written. But if it says only 5,000 men were counted, though women and children were there. So we ask ourselves, where were the genders? So we are also included. Jesus is Jesus for everyone. Jesus is Jesus who feeds everyone. Jesus is Jesus who cares for everyone. So this morning, Jesus wants to satisfy your needs. That's according to the NIV. Jesus wants you to have enough. That's according to the Good News. Jesus wants you to be full. That's according to the New Living Bible edition. If you are filled up, you must acknowledge and say, I am full. I have had enough because of the Lord. But if you keep it to yourself, you won't have enough. I told you about the order in heaven. Sometimes when we pray and we conclude that there is no answer coming, that orderly situation I told you about, God answers our prayers in that orderly situation. The answer is not coming yet to you because your prayer is in a queue. Amen. Your prayer is in a queue. God is an orderly God. He will still answer you. Don't conclude that God hasn't heard my prayer. God is an orderly God. He does his things orderly. So your answer is coming. Your answer is coming. As long as you have brought it before the Savior. You have gone out preaching. You have gone out doing your chores. Now you have brought back your diary before the Master. And you are showing him what you have been doing. He will answer you when your time is up. God doesn't work with time. As we go along, we are told that they collected about 12 basketful of broken pieces of bread and fish. Leftovers. Do you recycle at your house? If you are not, this is a time to learn how to recycle. Do you recycle at your house? Your leftovers, where do you put them? In the dustbin? Good. We are being taught here to recycle. We are being taught here to be conservative. You should know what you want to eat every day. But why do you have leftovers? Hello, I'm speaking to someone there. You are overspending. Be careful. You should now know what you need. So don't be wasteful. Jesus is teaching us here, don't be wasteful. Don't be wasteful. Yeah? Jehovah Jireh is our provider. He provides for all our needs. But we must also be cautious with how we do our things. We must always be careful. Don't be wasteful. Some scholars have come up with numbers on that 12. I'm not preaching about that today. Even that 5,000 is explained in some situations. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about not being wasteful. Yes, they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers. That's not my point this morning. My point is to tell you that you've got a need. If you are not recycling, you've got a need. Bring it before Jesus. The farmer I mentioned earlier on was so popular for producing the wrong type of a Christmas bed. There was a need. Jesus was preaching and talking to a group of people around that desert place because there was a need. Today, I'm saying, bring your need before Jesus. He will satisfy your needs. I also want to say, don't get lost. There's order in heaven. So your prayer is in a queue. Let's pray together, please. Thank you, Father, for you are a God who speaks the truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving up all that belongs to you in heaven to come and show us the way. Now we know that if we've got a need, we will come to you. If there is a need that is hidden somewhere, we must bring it in the open before the Lord. It's only you, Lord Jesus. Your Father, Jehovah Jireh, is our provider. As from today, we won't be wasteful. As from today, we will bring our needs to you. There is a need in our lives. There is a spiritual vacuum in our lives. So we are praying this morning that, Lord, come and take away this spiritual vacuum in our lives. I pray and ask you to bless each and everyone who is here this morning, those who are not able to be here with us. Lord, may you truly bless them wherever they are. I've prayed and asked for all these in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.